Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the shack. We're here again. We're still live doing this.
The dumbest show ever.
Who are you?
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Wilbur, and we're in the shack.
I really thought when you started saying welcome back,
yeah,
it was going to be the like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory song.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah.
Is it a bad movie?
I liked them all. I mean, I don't think there's a bad one.
If you have to rank them, that one's the worst.
There's only two.
Well, there's three now. Wonka.
I haven't seen it yet.
That's good.
I like that actor though.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, I don't like his name, but I think he's a good actor.
Timothy Chalamet. It's fun to say.
Pure Imagination is the name of the song.
Oh, I know.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. The way you started, welcome back
to the shack. And you'll be
the dumbest show on the internet.
In the nation. And we're here to talk about World Economic Forum.
That actually worked pretty good.
All right, we're back in the shack. He's Daniel and I'm Wilbur. Oh, and in 2019, October 29th, 2019, actually, on...
This is old news.
WeForum.com, WeForum.org, which is the World Economic Forum's website. They put out an article, What If We Get Things Right? Visions for 2030.
What is the World Economic Forum for somebody that may not... Like, I know the name, right?
Right.
I know it's a bunch of billionaires kind of get together and kind of discuss things, essentially.
Let's see here. According to their website, the World Economic Forum...
Because I know, like, Obama and the Bilderberg Group. You know, I thought it was Build-A-Bear forever.
Close enough.
I really did.
It says... Oh, wait. Why did it do that?
Just like last year... You remember?
What was last year?
I still thought it was the Build-A-Bear Group.
Oh, yeah. You did think that. The World Economic Forum, and this is just straight up from Wikipedia, is an international, non-governmental organization, think tank, and lobbying organization.
Because, you know, that's what billionaires need more of.
Right, lobbying. Yeah. And think tanks. Their think tanks are awful. Just think tanks in general that have corporations involved. It's just disgusting. Makes me it makes me want to puke. Oh, he's going to puke. He's going to puke. It was founded in January 1971 by German engineer Klaus Schwab. You know who Klaus Schwab is, right?
Yes.
Who is he?
He's a crab.
Well, yeah, but what's he famous? Well, what's your favorite thing to say that he says? What's your favorite quote of his?
Oh, which one?
Anyway, eat the bugs is what I was going for. But anyway, so...
You will eat the bugs.
Look up Klaus Schwab. Maybe we'll do an episode on just Klaus Schwab.
Well, we've played German Nazi. Huh? We played the songs about Klaus.
Oh, yeah. Was that on here?
Let me tell you. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was on here.
I thought so. Well, I didn't remember if it was actually recorded or if it was in our free time.
It could be any.
During research hours.
Research hours.
We might do an episode on Klaus Schwab or something, but he's a German Nazi that somehow just does all this stuff, and no one seems to care. But let's see here. Let's get it. They have 30 things they predicted if they get things right. This giant think tank that wants to control your lives, everyday working people, they want to make you their indentured servants. So this was their first. Number one, and these are all quotes from people that talked at the World Economic Forum. So this was the first quote. Number one, we're winning the fight against climate change. Welcome to CO-topia. Wonderful. So they said by 2030, your CO2 emissions will be far down. The air you breathe is cleaner. Nature is recovering. Saving the climate does involve huge change, but it might make us happier at the same time. That's what they wrote. What do you think about that, huh?
Say that one more time for me.
The whole thing?
Yeah, just let me. I want to like soak it in.
So this Danish member of parliament, Global Future Council on Cities and Urbanization, Ida Auken. Is that how you say her name? She said, we're winning the fight against climate change. Welcome to CO-topia. And she said, by 2030, your CO2 emissions will be far down. The air you breathe is cleaner. Nature is recovering. Saving the climate does involve huge change, but it might make us happier at the same time.
Didn't we already do this?
Huh? What do you mean?
Didn't we already do this as an episode?
Did we?
I don't know. You keep talking.
Perhaps maybe you should pause this.
We'll be right back after these short messages.
So what do you think about what she's saying about winning against the fight against climate change? Ain't that a good thing?
I think she's right. Let's do it.
How so? What's the plans?
Well, let's hear it.
Well, I don't know. They didn't say. This is just what they're predicting by 2030, that it does involve huge change, and it might make us happier at the same time. Ain't that just a bold, good prediction? Something that brings you a lot of hope? Might make you happier? It might. You're just going to have to change, a huge change, that might make you happier.
But I think she's right.
Don't worry. It's for the good of all of us. Yeah, us. You know how they're directing all this towards us, everyday normal people, that doesn't actually make big differences or changes, that's not like destroying the land or raping it and using it? We're not, you and me, but that's the ones they want to change. Hey, number two, cutting violent crime in half.
By cutting criminals in half.
Let's see if that's what they say. The world has an opportunity to dramatically reduce some of the most egregious forms of violence over the next decade. To do this, we will need the same kind of energy and dedication that was mobilized to eradicate other killers, like smallpox.
Wait, okay. Wait. Just say that again for me. Jeez.
The world has the opportunity to dramatically reduce some of the most egregious forms of violence over the next decade. To do this, we will need the same kind of energy and dedication that was mobilized to eradicate other killers, like smallpox. So they're comparing...
Criminals, crime.
To
viruses and diseases.
That they just want to eradicate. So, we're going to kill you.
We should do a death penalty episode.
The first step to having violence by 2030 is to have a clear sense of how it is distributed in time and space. I just love how these people talk.
What?
I love how these people talk.
I'm a little hungover.
They're basically saying that a lot of the crime, that more people die from drug and crime, like violence, than they do in wars, like the war in Iraq.
No, I believe that.
They're probably right.
No, I believe, like, because, I mean, there's wars, like, in the Congo, there's wars in South America, there's, you know, wars in the Middle East, killing people, but violent crime is
bad
everywhere in the country, like, everywhere in the world.
For sure. For sure.
And I mean, just think about, like, the cartels in South and Central America. Oh, we have a friend that was telling us about, like, a whole town that would just get murdered.
Right, yeah.
Like, just a whole town would come in.
Just to show force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new cartel, like, new cartels just trying to show how big and bad they are.
Right, yeah.
But, so, I mean, we should definitely do a death penalty episode.
Yeah.
Because if you accidentally kill somebody, obviously you probably don't deserve the death penalty there. But if you're a drug cartel guy and you've killed 50 people, or you're a rapist, or any of those options, you know, I don't know about lethal injection. That's a little too nice. Just push them off a big cliff.
Why do we do that, though? Because that's very expensive.
Huh?
Lethal injection.
Because it's the least showy.
Least showy?
Yeah, it's the least hard to watch.
I guess, but we have no idea what those people are experiencing.
It's not the most painful.
It might be painful and torturous. I'm saying
it's the least. So they stopped electrocution because there were so many mess ups with it.
Yeah.
Where, like, literally power companies would have too much fluctuation and output. So people would end up, like, surviving.
Yeah. Or it'd be like Ernest goes to jail
and get superpowers.
Yeah. I am Electro Man.
And then, so yeah, they stopped the firing squad and they stopped hangings because they were just too graphic.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
So, yeah.
I thought it's funny here, though. It says the UN Office for Drug and Crime. They basically said that many more people are dying violently as a result of organized and interpersonal crime in countries like Brazil, Colombia, and Mexico than in internal conflicts in countries such as Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen. Now, what's funny about that is all those internal conflicts of those countries, those are countries we invaded for war.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's their internal conflict. Not that uprose out of that country.
I don't know if I would call that internal.
It's not. We went in there and
maybe it is because we're keeping it there.
We started it there.
That's fine. We're keeping it there.
It's not fine for our taxpayers. I mean us.
It doesn't matter. You know it doesn't matter.
Actually,
the tax number does not change no matter what we're doing.
This was in 2019, so Afghanistan's no longer. Now we've moved everything to Ukraine to spend our tax dollars on. So I don't know. I just thought that point was funny that they had to put that in the article.
South America and Central America does have some rough spots.
For sure. For sure. And we're trying to get in there too. Remember what Trump said about Venezuela? Like Venezuela, we tried to coup their government. We've tried to overthrow, is it Maduro or I think Maduro was their elected official, and we pretty much overthrew him. A CIA did. And Trump said, oh, if I was in there, we would have had that oil. We would have had the oil. The oil would have been ours. We went there for the oil. And, you know, and Venezuela has, like, the highest oil reserves in the world, like, more than the Middle East. So it's no wonder reason why we're trying to overthrow their government and get in, because we want that oil, and we want to use it for us.
That's another good episode we need to do.
Our corporations, what?
It's oil.
Oil and lithium?
Well, because there's all that thought of how long it actually takes to make oil.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it may not. That may be a hoax.
I don't know. Yeah, you said that's a different conversation.
Right. Number three, empowering 8 billion minds with mobile technology. What does that sound like to you? Empowering 8 billion minds with mobile technology.
Making sure everybody gets a smartphone?
I think so, but I also think they're integrating it like directly with your mind.
I don't know if that's what... I think you may be.
Maybe. Because the description they give under this.
Yeah, read the description. Maybe that'll.
There is none. It's all about a hypothetical story of this guy that may live in India that may be depressed, and he uses his phone to cure it.
Read it.
I'm okay. It's literally, this is all a hypothetical because that's, there's nothing.
I want to hear it.
Just says the year is 2030. Imagine this. That's how it starts out. A young man called AJ lives in India. In his teens, he experienced an episode of depression. So when, as a new undergraduate, he was offered the chance to sign up for a mental health care service, he was keen to do so. AJ chose a service that used mobile phone and internet technologies to enable him to carefully manage his personal information. AJ would later develop a clinical depression. But he spotted that something wasn't right early on when the feedback from his mental health care app highlighted changes from his sociability. He was sending fewer messages and leaving his room only to go to campus. So it's tracking you, it's watching your messages, and it's so it can tell you if you're depressed. Something that's constantly tracking your actions and movements and thoughts. That's a good thing, right? Shortly thereafter, he received a message on his phone inviting him to get in touch with a mental health therapist. The message also offered a choice of channels through which he could get in touch. Now, in his mid-20s, AJ's depression is well under control. Look at that. They have a cure for it. He has learned to recognize when he's too anxious and beginning to feel low, and he can practice the techniques he has learned using online tools, as well as easily accessing high-quality advice. Look at that. You got access to high-quality advice. It's not going to be an AI that's probably slowly teaching you to jump off a cliff eventually. His progress through the rare depressive episodes he still experiences is carefully tracked. If he does not respond to the initial self-care treatment, he can be quickly referred to a medical professional. AJ's,
so they're going to, if you don't listen to the app,
they're going to send someone to your house.
Send somebody to you
and check on you, quote unquote.
In India.
AJ's experience is replicated across the world in low, middle, and high-income countries. Similar technology-supported mental illness prevention, prediction, and treatment services are available to all. So if so many people are depressed and things like that, isn't that a sign that maybe the way we're living life isn't probably the right way?
Touch grass.
Yeah, we're actually supposed to touch grass and not live in a concrete jungle of these major gigantic cities with cell phones and technology constantly beaming and overstimulating our minds and brains and manipulating our thoughts and brain patterns.
No.
I mean, no. We should stick with all that. Now we can manage it more.
You're nuts.
Now we'll just control it even more. So if you're feeling sad, like something might be off, don't worry. We'll just convince you otherwise that something may be off. And if you don't like that, we'll send someone to your house to fix you and make you even better. Don't worry. It's just a wellness check.
It is just a wellness check.
Number 4, clean air is a human right. Yeah, sounds great on the surface.
It is a right.
It's always been a right. So how about we... Okay, who's polluting the air? Factories. Oh, major corporations.
Yeah, major factories.
Like major ones. And we're not talking about like mom and pop shops or, you know, factories that don't produce, for major corporations. Like their big production lines. I don't know. All I know is it's not you and me polluting the air. Yes, we deserve clean air, but maybe if you want clean air, move out of the city. Move out of the city.
No.
Because it is, what's the word? Oh, yeah, disgusting. Gigantic cities and major cities are disgusting.
No.
They are. Yeah, I like... The crazy thing is, though, like countries like China and India are probably the two biggest... I think they are the two biggest... air polluters in the world.
I know China is. India's got to be up there.
And they're constantly building new coal-powered plants, which I'm all for it. I don't care. Like, you want to power your country and you want to provide power for your citizens. I'm all for it. But here in our country, we're removing them. We're not building new ones. So is other countries going to get a jump on us, you know, in manufacturing, production?
No, you were wrong.
What's that?
China's number one.
Okay. What's number two?
United States.
Oh, wow.
And then India.
So we jumped up on the list.
Then Russia. And then Japan.
What's the biggest, is there a gap between any of them?
Oh, yeah.
What's, so China like way out in front?
Okay, so let's see. We have it in pollute. Okay, I have it in pollutants per millions of tons of CO2. So we are just a touch above 4,000 million tons of CO2 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And China is a little over, not quite triple, but not a little over double.
Okay. So like 10.
Yeah. And the rest of us are pretty close.
Okay. So yeah, we don't ever regulate China. We don't ever, or we.
So EU
is not
if
us.
You add EU all up, they're worse than India.
Oh, wow. So all of Europe.
Yeah.
Which I just don't believe any of that stuff. I think these are all things that are made up that are, I believe putting harmful chemicals in the air. I don't think CO2 is a harmful chemical at all. You're not going to convince me that. I don't care what the science says. I don't think CO2 is a chemical that's going to hurt people. Unless you're breathing in carbon monoxide, CO, that's different. But CO2, we breathe it out. Plants use it. So many things use it. It's not a chemical. We're carbon-based. Are we? Well, yeah, I mean, kind of we're pollutants. We're, I don't know. We're not the best thing on the environment either. But we can also help the environment. That's a good thing about humans. Yeah, we can destroy it, but we can also make it better. So what side of the coin are you going to fall on?
Ecosystem engineers.
That's right. We're the best at it and the worst. Depends how you want to look at it. Number five, we build a fair and democratic gig economy.
Whoa, what's that?
Well,
what's a gig economy?
You know, I wish, I'm not 100%
I'm
sure.
I'm Googling
okay,
it.
Just look up.
I'll gig, just, G-I-G?
Yep. Under it says, and this is, the guy who said that quote was Mark Graham, professor of internet geography.
I hate the AI overview stupid thing.
What's I know, everywhere. Anytime you Google something, it gives you an AI like.
It's wrong. Every time.
Every time.
Every time I Google a lot of biology and wildlife things.
Yeah.
And it's wrong every time.
It's making us dumber.
And somebody's like, see, this is what it says. I'm like, that is wrong.
Yeah, that's what AI says. Hey, you ever might think?
Gig economy is an economic system by which the workforce of people, known as the gig workers, engage in freelance and or side employment.
Okay.
The gig economy is composed of corporate entities, workers, and consumers. The Internal Revenue Service defines a gig economy as active, where people earn income, providing on-demand work, goods, and services.
Hmm. Okay.
Noting that the activity is often facilitated through the digital platform, such as a mobile app or website, earning many of which of cash, property, or goods are virtual currency for payment.
Interesting. Here, I'm going to read this because this sounds bad, what they're saying. So we build a fair and democratic gig economy. So that makes a little more sense now. So like that free silence work where you're your own boss.
And that's the thing I'm reading here is a lot of it, gig economies are like, it depends on, I guess, the country.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's like second jobs.
Yeah. It's just like your side job, your freelance work on the side. Yeah.
But like, you can be like, so like some plumbers would be fall into this.
Yeah. Okay.
Like that kind of thing where they are based on, you know, somebody calling them or making an appointment for them to come fix something.
Right. A service that needs done. And then you're the one that has the skills to do that service. So it says, let's just read this real quick because I started reading it and it was like bothering me. The real future of the gig economy that we should be looking to is one characterized by democratic ownership. There is no reason why gig workers shouldn't be their own bosses. Right?
I agree.
Now let's continue on. The platform cooperativism movement shines a light on some of the real potentials for worker-owned and managed platforms for every possible service. We can also think about running platforms as civic utilities. Okay, so far sounds good. In many places, platforms are becoming utilities. Think, for instance, of Uber's desire to become an operating system for the city. This is where it starts to turn. Our cities will undoubtedly need operating systems, but we should ask ourselves if we want privately managed operating system run by an accountable company based in another country, or a locally managed, locally owned, democratic and accountable one. So it sounds good that, you know, you're making everything more local. But man, let me keep reading. Let me finish this. We aren't going to be able to turn back the clock towards to a world with no platforms, but by looking to strategies that involve transparency, accountability, worker power, and democratic ownership, we have in front of us the tools to move toward a less exploitative and more just platform economy. The platform economy in 2030 could be one in which consumers know more about their impacts, regulators are enforcing minimum standards, workers are exercising their collective power, and we have all found ways of building, supporting, and using democratically run and accountable platforms. So basically, they want to run, bring everything, like they said, for example, Uber, you know, it's based out of another country, like they're at headquarters, I guess. They want to make everything like that just localized. But it sounds like they still want you to do all the work. There's just going to be a local, democratically run
board. So do you want me to read the definition of platform economy?
Sure.
Because I'm just, that's all I'm doing. I'm just Googling words as you go along. Just
right, kind so of, we can make understand what they're saying.
I didn't know what any of these meant.
Me either. I'm doing my best.
Right, no, I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
So a platform economy encompasses economic and social activities facilitated by a digital platform.
Oh, no.
These platforms are, you know, the real famous ones we have are Amazon, Airbnb, Uber, Microsoft, and Google. Services as intermediaries between various groups of users, enabling interactions, transactions, collaboration, and innovation. The platform economy has experienced rapid growth, disrupting traditional business models and contributing significantly to the global economy.
Hmm.
So basically, this isn't adding middlemen.
It is adding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's adding middlemen.
For the big corporations.
Yeah.
The platforms.
No, it's adding them for us.
Okay.
So they're basically, the gig economy was you can have your own app, whatever like that, and somebody can book you, or your website or whatever, somebody can book you.
Right.
This is a step above that where you're now going to be encompassed into somebody else's platform.
Correct. Okay. Yep.
Where you are still, quote unquote, your own boss.
But you fall under the umbrella of like Amazon, Microsoft, Google. Yeah, but
they're making fees and stuff off of everything you do.
Yep.
Existence.
Oh, but no, this is a good thing because now there's oversight, you know? Because these big platforms and you know, like Amazon, like Google, like Walmart, I don't know, all of them are, you know, very responsible and accountable and have your best interest in mind. So it's good that they're collecting fees on top of you and your fellow workers, you know, just for your product protection, you know, to make sure you're getting the best experience involved. Sure, it'll be a little fee here, a little fee there. That won't add up. It's just little fees. It's fine. You can afford that. It's for your betterment. Don't worry. They're not draining your pockets slowly, just slowly and surely and funneling it all to like six major corporations and that's it. No, that ain't happening. Of course not. They don't want that. All right, number six. There's a new platform for peace in the Middle East, which, it's still not happening. By 2030, they want a new platform for peace in the Middle East. I'm not even sure if I want to read this one, but yeah, war. They want peace in the Middle East. You know, in the Middle East where we disrupted it, completely destroy any country that's trying to, like, take their own economic independence away from the world economy. They're trying to just support themselves. Those countries, you know, like Libya, we went there and killed their leader and bombed them. Iraq, you know, we went there and bombed them, killed their leader, just causing disruption in the Middle East. Syria, we tried bombing him and framing their leader with chemical attacks on his own citizens. We tried framing that. Still didn't. We didn't actually take him over. We haven't killed him yet, but we tried. What's next? We got the war in Ukraine now. So we shifted from Middle East now to a little somewhere else, another corrupt country that we have our fingers in. Yeah, let's bring stabilization to that area that we're been bringing stabilization to for the past 30 years.
So this is way off topic, but have you seen all the Haitian migrants and all that stuff ended up here in Ohio?
Yeah, in Springfield. How many is like 20,000 of them?
There's like 40 in Cincinnati.
Yeah. What about it?
I just don't even got caught putting away millions and millions of dollars for their health care.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But he just got caught hiding money.
Who did?
DeWine.
Oh, Mike DeWine. Gosh. You know, we wanted him gone since 2019 when all that COVID stuff happened. He needs to be out. Yeah, I don't understand how we
keep a politician.
Keep electing this man, this weasel of a man.
Because the elections don't matter. They're not real.
No, they're not. They're going to put people in power that do the bidding of major corporations. Or whoever's wanting these migrations to happen. You know, in Haiti, there's a lot of Haitian migrants, which I don't have a problem with other people, you know, at all. The problem is we are disrupting Haiti. You know, we're creating the migrant crisis. And then we bring them here as like refuge. But then we're just injecting them in the cities that can't support them. Like the city of Springfield was already having a housing crisis before they brought in 20 to 40,000 extra people on top of it that don't have money themselves. And then so we as taxpayers are going to give them money to stay here in places where we don't have houses for them to live in. Sounds smart. We're being governed by smart people. Being sarcastic. Number seven, we create cities where you can walk to everything you need. What's that sound like?
Oh, the 15-minute cities.
15-minute cities. Remember, this was in 2019. So those started happening now. So they're on the way there. Do you see like in England where they're making some of their I think it's in London. They're making some sections like 15-minute cities where they block off the road with like those they're like these hydraulic pillars that come up out of the road.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you can't drive your cars through. And they're setting up cameras everywhere, and people are going through with hacksaws and cutting down the poles with the cameras and removing those things, like destroying it. But yeah, 15-minute cities, that's what they 2030. Everything. Don't worry. You don't need a car, like transportation, freedom to just leave whenever you need to. You can just walk everywhere you need to. You just walk in these prison city. You don't leave. Why would you leave? We don't want you to leave. We want you inside because then we can control you and watch you, everything you do, and control all your money flow. Don't worry. This is good for you. Sounds like the wind's blowing outside the shack, shifting everything in here. It's creaking and creaking all over.
That's what happened.
Number eight, clean electricity will dominate the energy sector.
I'm for it,
but... Okay, clean electricity. Yeah, let's build these gigantic windmills.
I love clean coal.
Clean coal. That, you know, I think that's still more efficient than these windmills they're putting up.
Do you get what I was making the joke?
Right, because there's no such thing as clean coal. Like, it's not clean at all.
But they post that and stuff like that. They talk about clean coal.
Let's just say the only way coal, I think, could be clean, quote unquote, is when you burn it. I don't know the byproducts of it.
Oh, sulfuric acids can...
That's when you burn it or when you mine it?
Both. So a lot of the problems with coal, actual coal, is 99% of it is not the coal itself.
Right.
It is coal seams are packed with the nastiest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when you mine it, when you water washes over, and we're talking actual, you know, rock coal... When water washes over, a chemical reaction causes it to make sulfuric and hydrochloric acids. When you burn it, those particles go in the atmosphere, and they will still mix with water up there.
Right, and then rain down acid rain. Right,
and it can be that. It depends on the acid rain. I mean, there's like you'll have acid rain right near a coal production plant.
Right, it'll be down,
but
wind quite a ways.
It'll be low enough that most people won't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
But the river systems and plant life, they'll notice it
because
live in it.
Like, right, yeah.
And then the radioactive particles is a big issue. Like that's what I showed you on the river with the big slosh ponds and stuff like that, that literally you cannot walk near some of them.
Right, yeah.
Because they are so radioactive. Kills and everybody everything. Pretends like, oh, it's fine.
It's fine. It's normal.
So that's the big problem with coal.
Okay.
I mean, there's the CO2 burning. Like, anything you're burning is putting stuff in the atmosphere, let alone.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is the byproducts and the associated materials.
Gotcha. That come along with it.
I heard that from Cribs of the Corn podcast.
Ah, those guys are pretty... I'm glad they produced this show, because we couldn't do it.
I don't know how this technology works. One of those guys had the acid mine runoff on a leather boot, and it ate the boot in about 30 minutes.
That's pretty strong.
And that wasn't even one of the strong creeks.
Oh, gosh. Sounds like Ohio River System or something.
It was Hawking.
Oh, there we go. By 2030...
Carbondale.
There we go. Carbon. By 2030, electricity will also be democratized, that's the word, and people will be empowered with choices, and they will choose energy sources that sustain life. Power generations will also shift from centralized structure to greater distributed renewable generations. The electricity system will be defined by further digitalization, enabling the concept of sharing economy with the energy space. By 2030, trading of excess solar electricity with neighbors and sharing of electric vehicles within the community will be the way of living.
Say that last part again.
By 23, trading of excess solar electricity with neighbors and sharing of electric vehicles within the community will be the way of living. So
I think, guys, having your own solar panels is great.
That's not what they're... That would be great.
I know. And just interesting. They're like, yeah, you can trade your solar energy.
And then you share your electric car together.
All the companies lie. They install solar panels. They get paid.
They get paid to install them?
Yeah. When you pay to have somebody install a solar panel, they're also being paid by an electric company to wire it right back into the grid.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
So even if you have batteries, they just got in trouble with two people I know here in Ohio, and because their electric bill never changed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, my whole roof solar panels. You know, they weren't expecting a zero bill, but they weren't expecting no change. You know, they spent $20,000-$30,000 on their roof.
Right.
And what had happened is they wired it into the grid.
Okay.
And didn't tell them. The power companies paid the people installing the solar panels to wire it back into the grid.
Okay.
So the grid is stealing all of electricity. You're still pulling electricity from the grid, but getting charged for it.
Okay.
So what you're supposed to do, and they tell nobody this, is apply to be a power generator, and they give you a credit.
Wow. So can you have them installed without installing them into the grid?
Yes. But every company lies, and they do it into the grid because they're getting paid
to do it.
To do it extra.
Yeah.
So, but they set up the batteries and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like the storage banks.
Right.
They had them set up, and there's literally the batteries are always at 100%.
Right.
Because there's nothing drawing on them.
Right. Yeah.
And there's nothing going to, it's asinine.
Corrupt.
Yeah. Corrupt.
Corrupt. They want to do that and steal your electricity that you basically paid for to collect, and they want you to share your electric vehicles with your neighbors.
I'm lucky enough to, I like my neighbors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like my neighbors.
Share a vehicle with them.
No. No. Why are they trying to take away your independence?
Yeah, I'm serious about buying that property in Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, the way things are headed, it's not looking good. At least from this perspective, from what these people want to do. These are the people that want to change your or control your life, dictate how we live life, how life is set up. But it's all to benefit them. None of it's for us, but it's all under the guise of, oh, you know, our lives are better. Screw that. I think we had so much more freedom in our grandparents' generation, had much more freedom. But even then, they were living under the thumb of, you know, the threat of war constantly. It's always something.
Our grandparents' generation really didn't have that. Our parents' generation had that.
What do you mean?
The threat of war, because it was...
Our grandparents were in war.
Well, Vietnam towards the end. Yeah. I guess you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Like they were, yeah. We've been, since World War One, we've constantly been in a war. We haven't been out of one.
We had like a 12-year period.
I don't think so. I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
I just found where we're buying.
Where we're buying? Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Either way, it's about
50 grand.
I'm not about this energy sector. Like, you know what? Instead of setting up these solar farms and wind farms that take up farmland and take up people's property and they look awful on the landscape. It looks awful. And compared to the natural land that's already there and the natural wildlife that's already there, they're buying up these big swaths of land, especially just around us, We've got these huge solar farms going up everywhere, taking up prime farmland, like very good fertile farmland, are just covered in solar panels. And what they're doing is, collecting electricity that way from the sun. And then they're putting it into the grid and selling it back to us citizens to buy more their electricity again. It's all under, but now we're removing farmland to do this, a lot of it. And, you know, if these things break, these solar panels break, these windmills break, us citizens then have to pay to fix them. And they break all the time. And it costs so much money to put them in, to build them.
And we covered, I think we did an episode about that, right?
We did, Brown Energy.
Of why, like, there are good solar panels. There are solar panels. Yeah. If you want to do it, there are ones that make it, that live, you know, they last some of these 70 years.
Yeah, which it would be a great thing. But my problem with it is I think we as citizens would be 100 times better off if instead of putting these solar panels out, covering up farmland and putting it out there for you to buy back that electricity, why not take each individual solar panel they're putting out in this field and give it to one person's roof on their house. One per house would make every single house bill go down just a little bit. But the overall load on the grid would be so much less than. People's bills would be less than. Everything would work a lot better. But no, that they didn't consider that. They don't want to consider that option because it gives you financial freedom. It gives you energy freedom. Just a little bit. And they don't even want you to have just a little bit. They want the image of being green and good for the environment and being better than, you know, coal and stuff. But they're still using your tax dollars and making you buy it all. They're making you buy it. It's dumb. If I was like in charge of these decisions, I would make it for each individual person to have a windmill and a solar panel on their property. And there you go.
You sound like the mayor of Logan.
Is that what they said? Oh yeah. That mayor, the future mayor of Logan's. Make sure you get it right. Future mayor.
Don't call him mayor.
I'm just saying, yeah, don't call him mayor. His name's James. You call me James. I like James. I like his platforms. But I don't know. That's just the way I think it should be if we actually wanted to help people. But hey, nope, we are not doing that. They don't even mention it. I've not heard one of these companies even propose that idea, especially here at the World Economic Forum. No, they want you to instead buy all your electricity from them and then share your car with your neighbor to make sure everyone has enough to go around. Yeah, screw you guys. Number 9, virtual reality will protect our mental health.
I just love the screw you guys.
Yeah. Do you hear that one, though? Virtual reality will protect our mental health. Virtual reality is creating mental health problems.
Yeah.
I don't even want to go into this. This is dumb. Get off your cell phones. Get off. Stop. Throw your television away.
It's hard. It releases serotonin and dopamine.
I know. And they, on purpose, like, they want that. They've lured us all into the dopamine trap of your cell phone. Number 10, the circular economy has become the economy. I don't even know what that means. Let me share my vision. Oh, gosh, that's what this person said. The CEO and founder of Everledger, a member of the Global Future Council on Advanced Manufacturing and Production. Wow, Leanne Kemp. You know, a lot of these CEOs and stuff are now women, which I think they did that so you can't criticize them anymore. Like this, the...
Oh, I got you.
Like a lot of the defense contractor, like Boeing, or I think Boeing, Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, there was a meme, and it's like, I don't know. It's just a building off in the middle of nowhere, and it just like explodes in a nuclear bomb. And the caption is, Lockheed Martin headquarters, when after the genie gives me my first wish.
When, oh, yeah.
And it just literally like a nuke going off.
That would be wonderful. I don't know.
I just want a Death Note.
A Death Note? What do you mean?
It's an anime.
Oh, it was on Netflix, right?
They made one on Netflix, yeah.
Okay. Maybe they made a movie or something.
It's like that live action. They did a live action.
Maybe that's what I've seen.
Netflix always does.
I don't know what the circular... You want to learn what circular... Okay.
Okay, what...
I'm just going to read it here.
Well, what's the word I'm looking up?
Circular economy.
Oh, okay. Wait a second.
So this woman, Leanne Kemp, the founder of that company I just said, she wrote, let me share my vision for 2030. By then, nobody talks about this circular economy. Ooh. It's just the economy. We wince at the grim days of the 2010s when billions of tons of materials were extracted every year to meet the functional needs of society, but only a fraction was ever recycled back into our economies. Were you going to say something?
This is a weird one.
Circular economy?
Mm-hmm.
Which she continues on. Rapidly falling technology costs created major opportunities to reduce waste. We focused on capturing more value from existing infrastructure by designing out the impacts of pollution, climate change, toxins, and congestions. We got our act together by 2030.
The circular economy, also referred to as the circulatory or the CE, is, oh gosh, no joke. I was just reading this and it just went to the black screen.
Oh, that's weird.
I've never had that happen.
That's really strange.
I got it back.
Okay.
Just looking around.
Yeah, is anyone watching the shack? Is there someone drilled a hole and is peeking through that little hole in the window of the shack?
Mm.
A wall.
Is a model of resource production and consumption in any economy involved in sharing, leasing, reusing, repairing, refurbishing, and recycling existing materials and products for as long as possible. The concept aims... Stop. It keeps, like, going away.
Hmm. They don't want you to read this. Right now, it's not sounding good, like something I want.
The concept aims to tackle global challenges such as climate change, biodiversity loss, waste, and pollutions by emphasizing the design-based implications of the three base principles of the model. The main three principles require the transformation to the circular economy are design out waste and pollutants, keeping products and materials in use as long as possible, and regenerating natural systems. The CE is defined by the construction of the traditional linear economy. Oh, okay. I don't think it's as bad as it sounds.
It doesn't sound as bad, but I think the way
you can use anything for B bad.
Right. So like if that's what they want,
it's kind of like
why is everything we make disposable?
That's kind of like taking recycling to the next step, it seems like.
Yeah.
You'll purposely, but see with recycling materials, you have to go and transfer that. That's why it stopped working, because China stopped buying our recyclables.
Right.
Because it just was too much energy to take cans and melt them down and take plastics and melt them down and turn them to something else.
Well, I think it's mostly plastics is the problem now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
metal
and glass are things
generally
different.
Worth it.
Yeah.
So this shows, or what it looked like from me reading, is that instead of designing, so those products aren't designed to be recycled. They're made out of recyclable materials.
Mm-hmm.
These are talking about making products and systems that are inherently designed to go back and be reused.
Right.
So there's less processing that has to go forth.
Okay.
So it's not like when cardboard's recyclable, being shredded and remolded and all, or reformed and all that.
Right.
This is saying like products, like say if it's, I don't know if it's coffee cups, for example, which is probably a worst example I could pick. The coffee cup is designed in a way, whether it's a, a ceramic cardboard or whatever, to go back and be whatever cleaned and reused
right
in that system or for a different thing. So it was looking like some were talking like after like a type of filter is used in this type of business, even though it's not good for that thing anymore, it has a next life
somewhere else, something else. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can see that.
That's what it's talking about. But like I said, anything can be used for good or evil.
Right. And, you know, these people just want to make it evil. But let's stop making everything disposable. Literally everything we make is disposable, and it's meant to break down within a few years. Everything. Like, break down, I mean stop working kind of thing. Everything just made cheaper now with cheaper materials, things you can just throw away. They've designed the way we live now. It's all by design. Just consume, consume, consume. Nightmare, nightmare, nightmare. That's what it's like. Number 11, the middle class grows and inequality shrinks. And they have nothing to explain that, how to do it, why to do it. The middle class grows. You know, I think the way the middle class grows in their eyes is just making everybody poor.
Yeah. And then
the poor are the middle class now. Mm-hmm. And it's all the same thing. Then, see, guys, middle class grew. Look, it boomed. There's no longer poor people because that doesn't exist anymore. Everybody's poor. And compared to people running the economic forum, 100% that's true. Number 12, streets are made for people, not cars.
What?
That's what they want by 2030.
Technically, they're made for horses, but that's whatever.
Right, yeah, but it's just a mobile car.
All cars are mobile.
Not that. Not mobile car. Why am I thinking that? An organic car. There you go. A living car.
I think I watched Wilbur have a stroke there for a second.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking two different thoughts, and my mouth just did mix both, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, they don't want, they'd rather you have your bike and your walk in your 15-minute cities. That's where they're going to convert roads to.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good, good. 15-minute cities are good. Just don't leave. Don't leave.
You can apply for a permit.
Oh, maybe you can borrow your neighbor's car to leave the city.
Oh, no, they have at the edge of town. If your permit goes through, they give you an electric program car that'll drive you to your destination and then drive you back.
Right, and it's tracked too. You have to wear the tracking bracelet.
There's no steering wheel.
Oh yeah, but they'll put the bracelet around your wrist so if you get out
for
of the car,
safety, so you don't get stolen.
Right. Yep. Yeah. It's very. You know, they're always just looking out for us.
I'm not joking. You want to go to the bank after this and just take a loan out?
And just move?
And run away?
Move the shack? I don't know if I didn't have work and, you know, my family.
We can send for them.
Yeah. That'll go over well. Number 13. An end to all preventable forms of suffering.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Release a cure for cancer then.
Right. And stop poisoning people and killing people and taking money DuPont. From them while you're doing it. Yeah. DuPont. Awful. Awful company.
How'd you say it?
DuPont. DuPont.
Yeah, you said DuPont.
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 DuPont. DuPont.
Because it's the name of an ancient, I think an elder demon.
Jeff Gordon?
The racer?
Yeah. The hood of his car was DuPont.
Oh.
It was always DuPont.
I was confused. I was like, what are you talking about?
Everyone, if you're a NASCAR fan, I guess you hate Jeff Gordon. Unless you're a female NASCAR fan that likes... that thinks he's handsome. That's the only people I know that like Jeff Gordon.
I think you're actively having a stroke.
The only people I know that like Jeff Gordon are female fans that thinks he's handsome. Everyone else hates him. Hates him. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't watch NASCAR, but I gathered that much.
You know a lot for somebody that doesn't watch NASCAR.
Do you know where we live?
Some hard opinions.
Do you know where we live? I'm just picking this up all from observation.
I've never once heard anything about NASCAR where we live.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You know what NASCAR stands for, right?
No.
Non-athletic sport centered around rednecks.
Yeah.
Do you know where we live?
I've never heard anybody talk about NASCAR.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not joking. I'm trying to think.
Maybe you haven't just been in the NASCAR circles.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't gone to the NASCAR party.
Well, I didn't either, but they come in the bowl now, and then they're like, wait, you put on the race. Got the race on? You can just watch the race?
Is it like one person?
And then you turn on the race, and it's just cars going. And they're like, woo! Look at that! Woo! Oh, cool. Oh, they're stopping for gas again. Oh, here we go. You turn left. He's turning left again. Look at him go. That's how I feel like I'm watching him. Vroom, vroom, vroom. This is great. Very entertaining. Jeff Gordon, he sucks. I can't stand Jeff Gordon.
All right, next thing on the list.
All right, next. That's my NASCAR experience.
I couldn't tell. I think you're actively having a stroke today.
An end to all preventable forms of suffering.
What does this mean? What does that mean?
And now I'm not calling out like women like in general, but they put women at the top of these things and they have them deliver these speeches. I think just so, because if a guy does it, people have the, I'm trying to think the right words because I can't stand all this stuff set up like with, but people have the idea like that patriarchy, you know, ruling everything. But if a woman delivers it, then it's fine. Like, so everyone will absorb it fine. Like, you don't have that, those things they set up, like the patriarchy, you know, cis white males ruining everything, which, you know, isn't entirely wrong.
Well, you yelled at me the other day.
I know, that was hilarious, but but how funny was that? You said old white men are the worst. They ruin everything. I was like, I've heard this before. I think it was on CNN. But yes, they said, you know, to prevent all preventable forms of suffering, this woman, Jennifer Maroa, a clinical assistant professor, Department of Global Health, Washington University, a member of the Global Future Council on Biotechnology. So yes, doing great things. She said, by 2030, I envision a world free from preventable forms of suffering, especially those inflicted by infectious and non-communicable diseases. This can easily be achieved through the equitable application of new technologies such as blockchain, the Internet of Things, and artificial intelligence. Wait, what?
Do you understand what the blockchain is?
Yes.
Do you?
But what's the Internet of Things?
I have the book, The Internet of Things.
Yes, but blockchain, yeah, everything's...
Let me Google the Internet of Things first.
Okay. But it was saying, and artificial intelligence, which can drive the development of innovative tools to make healthcare delivery more accessible, affordable.
The Internet of Things explained in simple terms.
And importantly, more precise to all humanity.
These are not simple.
What do you mean?
Oh my gosh.
What's the Internet of Things?
It's like, I don't understand it. One sec. I'm trying to find one I can read. Like, I can actually read.
Okay.
The Internet of Things describes devices with sensors, processing abilities, softwares, and other technologies that connect and exchange data with other devices and systems over the Internet or other communication networks. The Internet of Things encompasses electronics, communications, and computer science engineering. Internet of Things has been considered a misnomer because devices do not need to be connected to the public Internet. They only need to be connected to the network and the individual's addressability. The field has evolved due to the convergence of multiple technologies, including Ambiguous computing, commodity sensors, increasing powerful embedded systems, as well as machine learning. Other fields of embedded systems, wireless sensing networks, control systems, automation, and home in the building of automotions, independent and collectible inability to Internet of Things. So just that how all everything's connected.
Connected, yeah. Like how your microwave has Wi-Fi.
It's not
now.
Really anything to do with the internet.
No.
It's more that all electronics are talking to each other.
Device, yep. So your TV now has connected to your microwave, and your oven's connected to your dishwasher, and your dishwasher is connected to your washing machine at home. And then that's connected to your air compressor out in the garage. And then that's connected to the security system, which is connected to the government.
I've seen a lot of smart technology that doesn't need to be smart. You know what I mean? Like microwaves is one of the dumbest ones I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I've never seen a smart air compressor.
What do you mean? Every air compressor needs a camera on it and a microphone to watch
you. I just
you.
Don't think there's been that big of an innovation in the air compressor market.
Oh, you just wait. DeWalt's been putting some stuff out.
40 years.
Milwaukee's got the nicest one I've seen. It's got a HD camera, a microphone.
That's the only thing that's still here from my parents.
What's that? Air compressor?
Dad's air compressor because yeah. It's too heavy to move.
Right. It still works though, right?
Yeah. It's sunk into the ground.
One of those big ones, huh?
It's taller than us.
Okay, it's one of those stand-up ones.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa had one, or he still has it. You have to turn it's hooked, hardwired into the breaker, and you have to flip the. It's like an old school breaker where you shove the things in, and it, when you turn that on, it clicks on this huge motor that turns this huge belt, and then that runs his air compressor. It's gigantic. Oh, you've probably seen it.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you know exactly what it is.
Yeah, used to be one in that garage too.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's actually probably the one from this garage.
The air compressor?
Yeah.
Probably is. It's old. That thing needs some TLC.
So the Internet of Things. What are they using the Internet of Things for?
Pretty much to, you know, just to watch over you and make sure you're
well,
not
what did they say
sick.
They're using it for?
Well, they were saying all that stuff I said just earlier, but then she continues on to say, for example, using AI to develop algorithms to take into account the influence of genetic diversity and environment on drug responses would go a long way towards increasing positive outcomes and reducing adverse drug effects. So, you know, if you're shooting up heroin, they can monitor you and know when to give you Narcan to bring you back. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Or maybe...
How many more of these you got?
Well, this is number 13. So this is just be part one.
Let's get to 15.
Yeah, we'll stop at 15. Let's just jump ahead to number 14.
I don't care. Are you talking about this long? No, I'm not rushing you. I was curious if...
Well, they want to use blockchain technology to track open data agreements, so all that stuff.
Let me Google what the blockchain actually is, because I have I think I have an understanding of what it is, but it could be one of those things where I'm completely wrong. You know what I mean?
I feel like the blockchain, I know like the currency, like what was that called? Cryptocurrency uses blockchain technology, and like I think once you – blockchain will track, so every previous owner who owns it, you know. And it keeps
take me to Wikipedia. I hate when it does this.
What's it doing?
Just that stupid thing.
Where the AI pops up first and tells you everything that's wrong about something.
The blockchain is a distribution ledger with a growing list of records called blocks that are securely linked together via a cryptographic hash. Each block contains a cryptographic hash of the previous block. A timestamp, a transaction date, generally represented by a Merkle tree with data nodes and representative by leaves.
Oh my gosh.
Since each blockchain contains information from the previous block, this affects from the form of the chain. Compared link list data structures, each additional block linking to the one before it. Consecutive blockchain transactions are irreversible. In that, once they are recorded, the data is given back or block to a given block. It cannot be altered retroactively without altering the whole block sequence.
Right.
Blockchains are typically managed by a peer-to-peer computer network, which are using public distributions ledgers, where the nodes collectively adhere to the consensual algorithm protocol to add the validity.
It just is a bunch of nonsense that basically wants to... All that's a fancy way of saying, so we're going to capture every transaction you do because through a digital currency now, and we can track everything, and you can't ever hide anything from us anymore. You're now part of the system financially, so you're stuck in this system financially if you want anything at all. It's not bartering at this point. That's how I interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they threw out the blockchain, the crypto stuff in front of us like it's the future and like it's a safe way out of – like it's for financial independence, I guess, you know? But it's all tracked. It's all digitalized. I think everything digitalized is becoming controlled and evil to this point. You know, we had the opportunity to actually make our lives better and more efficient with digital technology. But it's all just, I think, in a way to capture us financially and emotionally. I just think digital technology is being used for evil.
We just need to move to the Headless Valley.
Why?
Huh?
We need to?
Yeah.
I think we need to move all these CEOs to the Headless Valley.
No, I just
send them there for a vacation.
If we all just leave one night.
Who's we?
The general populace.
Right, okay. So 99% of the country go to the Headless Valley?
Mm-hmm. I just need magic powers.
Magic powers would be enjoyable.
I would wish that everybody wouldn't pay their taxes ever again.
That would be a wonderful thing. Just one time. One time! What are they going to do if we all just didn't pay taxes one time?
They couldn't do anything.
Nothing! They're going to arrest us all?
If 6% of the population didn't pay taxes, there's nothing they could do. That's hundreds of millions of people.
I mean, they might build private prisons and then just gather us all up and throw them at us, and then the government gives the private prisons money per prisoner, like they did in the 80s and 90s when the CEOs of the music industry encouraged
weed.
Criminal activity in rap music because they own the private prisons and the government paid them per... a prisoner that was in the prison, so they influenced the general populace through music that influenced them to do crime. It was all just a big psychological money-making scheme that used people as their economy off the backs of people, like destroying their lives to make money. Indentured servitude is what it is, or slavery. It's just modern-day slavery. Prison system is like our current presidential nominee that nobody nominated but her own party, that nobody wants but her own party. When she was working in California as the attorney general, she kept people, innocent people, in prison, and she didn't free them even though they were wrongfully in prison.
I was going to say weed thing.
Well, that's another thing.
I just watched a guy that he got in trouble 30 years ago for having like an ounce of weed.
In California?
No, this guy was like in one of the East Coast states.
Oh, okay.
And he got out and the first billboard he seen was for a dispensary.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, I just lost half of my life.
For this. And now it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
A nonviolent crime. That our politicians put in the place to imprison people. And she also kept people in prison because she didn't want to disrupt the prison labor workforce.
Well, yeah.
That's why she didn't want to free people. And that's her own quote, her own words, and her own reasoning why. That's our presidential nominee. She also put people in prison for weed. And then later, when she was running for president in 2020, laughed about it, that she used to use it when she was in college, that she used to smoke weed. And she put people in prison for it and laughed about it. So that's our nominee. Good person is how I translate that. Number 14. Technology supports the challenges of our aging populations. Which?
It does. Oh, my gosh.
To be honest.
I just was screaming about this.
What?
Nothing. My last week was new technology and old people.
Now there's problems with it because it's hard to new technology can be difficult for people that aren't, you know, didn't grow up with it.
I'm not saying it's not, I'm not blaming anybody.
Yeah.
No. Maybe I misspoke.
No, I think I understood what you said. It was they had difficulties using it, and I think so too. But I think it can be a good thing for them to have this stuff.
Yeah, no, it's good for them
in the long run.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to navigate. And that's why I was saying it's when you didn't grow up with this stuff, it can be a hassle to learn it.
Yes,
but there's opportunities there. Yeah, absolutely, for them to help them, especially nowadays, everyone's so busy.
Our library does it twice a week.
What's that? What do they do?
They have an hour for anybody, but it's generally geared towards the elderly population mm-hmm. to come to learn technology things.
Oh, okay.
On the computers. I have a buddy that does it. He's 94, and he's there every two days. They do it twice a week, and he's there every time.
Hmm.
Yeah, like they do, like whatever. Like today they're doing emails, you know, next week they're doing Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, you know, just whatever.
That's awesome.
I think a lot of times they write down what the guy's like, what would you like to learn? Like, you want to do FaceTime? Is that really what you want to focus on?
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's great. I should get my grandma signed up for that.
They enjoy it.
Yeah.
They do a good job because what they do is they have the ONU kids come in.
Nice. That's really good.
Sit down. So each person gets
an individual, tutor,
and they sit there and they're like, well, you're going to do it. You know, you learn by hands-on stuff.
Yeah, that's the best way to learn.
Except with dementia.
Well, yeah. I mean, because
grandpa always, like, forgot to use the remote every day.
Yeah. My grandma's slowly starting to go through that. Sometimes I just think she creates things, so you come over and talk to her.
Oh, that happens, too. That's different.
That's different as well, but, like, she's forgetting how to...
She's throwing the cats in the pool.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I need help getting them out. Like...
She's out there with her.
Will you come over? Like, it's an urgent thing. You have to come right now. Like, yep, you're right there. And then, yes.
Did that ever get resolved?
Yes.
Good.
Oh, it's all resolved. She got her whole pool liner replaced. Pool's full of water. No more cats in there. Throwing cats in an empty pool, by the way.
No,
a full pool.
For everybody, it was an empty pool, and the cats had ripped a hole into the liner.
Right.
And were living in the liner.
Right, yes. So that was like that for about a month, because... The people that were bringing the new liner just seemed to always reschedule. But it's all good now. It's all fixed and up and running. I actually have to close it here this weekend, I think.
All right. What else we got?
So that was, you know, I don't know how they're going to do it with technology and the elderly, but, you know, I think there's potential there. Hey, let's just stop. I don't know. I was just going to say, maybe let's just move to a technology that's not... like for cancer treatment, let's change that for chemo. Let's stop doing that to elderly people and murdering them, in my opinion.
No, chemo's rough.
It's killing people, I think.
I watched it a bunch.
Me too, yeah.
Well, no, it does. It kills. It does. Do you die faster than the cancer dies?
Yes.
Is the answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, there's a cure for cancer, and it is probably, I'm going to guess, eyelash viper venom.
And peach pits. No, I just read that somewhere.
I don't know. I don't trust pits of any fruit
because
a lot of them contain cyanide.
Yeah, but maybe it's just cancer. Cyanide kills cancer in small doses.
I mean, so just like, well, the same thing
with
like
with a pit viper,
like chemo. Venom. You know,
well,
it's poison.
I guess we'll see. Maybe, yeah, but at least cyanide. It's natural. It's found in peach pits. At least it's a natural thing.
All chemicals are natural.
Well, yeah. Yes, but when you just grab a peach, and that's different than like
a GMO peach.
Than like extracting chemicals and creating.
Have you ever seen an actual wild peach?
I think so.
You haven't.
I think I had one this summer.
No, you haven't.
You don't know me.
They're not native.
You don't know me. You don't know where I've been.
I do know where you've been.
This shack travels.
Continue.
All right, next. Number 15. This is where we'll end it today.
Yeah.
More, we overhaul economic policy to move beyond GDP. And I think GDP is GDP. Gross.
Production something.
Yeah.
Profit.
Yeah, you go ahead and look up what GDP is.
I'm Googling today. GDP?
Yeah. And then, so this guy.
Gross domestic product.
Product, there we go.
So it refers to the monetary measure of the market value of the final goods and services rendered at a specific time. So for most time, it's like a year.
Oh, here, let's
read. It could be a quarter, it could be a year, you know, whatever.
Let's read what old Jerome Jean Hagili.
We were 24, in 2019, we were 24% of the world's GDP.
Nice.
China was only 16%.
What are we exporting anymore? What the heck are we exporting from this country?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be exporting.
I'm just wondering though, like what's a total.
Like,
you know what America's biggest export is actually? Hmm. Our media.
I did know that actually.
Let's see. This guy said, for the global economy to be successful over the next 10 years, a different mix of economic policies is needed. It's high time to act. So dramatic.
Sounds like a threat.
A public policy rethink is overdue in three major dimensions. First, less is more in terms of central bank action. Targeted fiscal stimulus and more supply-side reforms need to do the heavy lifting now. We should remember Reagan's supply-side economics and not just believe blindly in, I can't read this, in Keynes's demand stimulus. I don't know what that was. If you want to look that up.
Well, okay. You got to try to say that.
Keynes's, it's key, or key, K-E-Y-N-E-S, demand stimulus. Second, we need to respond decisively to the inevitable economic consequence of climate change and demographics. So we got to plan for that climate change. It's coming. Still coming. Third, economists' toolkits need to take into account key societal factors, focusing on aggregate macro variables. These words are just mumbled, just nonsense. Like GDP and the Consumer Price Index. It's not a recipe for future economic success. This is even more true against the current backdrop of an aging and ever more unequal society and political polarization. What'd you say?
This is dumb. Whatever I just read.
What is it?
I have no idea. I just read the whole paragraph about it, and I have no idea.
We have a lot to gain if we draw the right lessons from the past decade. The current economic realities of many...
The past decade?
From 2009 to 2019.
What happened then?
Well, in 2008, the economy crashed after Obama got in and was supposed to re-regulate Wall Street. And then the moment he got in, decided, told all those people to go home that was protesting it. And that helped elect him in the office. Just go home. And then he used Wall Street to fill his cabinet. Oh, Citibank chose his cabinet, which was released. That information was released by Julian Assange, and then he was in prison for the past.
Ever?
Well, he's out now, supposedly, if they didn't kill him and replace him with a body double and release that person. I don't know. We have a lot to gain if we draw the right lessons from the past decade. The current economic realities of many societies are not pretty. Public policies need to take into account their distributional consequences. Living standards increase for everyone when conductive public policies allow and empower individuals and corporations to thrive. Individuals and corporations. When corporations are thriving, you're thriving. Duh. As such, we have the inherent self-interest in departing from the status quo for societies to be better off in 10 years' time. The focus of our public policy needs a change. So that was just a lot of mumbo-jumbo that said, hey, let's give more money to the economy and less to you. That's how I interpret that. I'm probably wrong in that, but that's what they want in the long run. So that's halfway through the World Economic Forum's predictions for 2030. I'd say we'll probably have a part two next week. But yeah, so far, just, you know, listen to these people. They're good people. They have good thoughts and good ideas and good plans for you. They're always looking out for the common man. They're just believe in them blindly. It's a good.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone.
With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly.